call to order the AMATS meeting for this Thursday, August 10th, 2023. We do have a quorum today. So good. Next on the agenda is item number two, minutes from May 18th.
Will you approve as presented?
Second, Mayor Klein.
Okay, we've got a motion by Mayor Klein, second by Mayor Clark. Any discussion before we take a vote? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed or abstentions? Okay, we have unanimous approval. Next, we're going to move to item three, staff reports. So we're going to start with the financial progress report by Director Baker.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Attachment 3A shows that through the end of our fiscal year, we spent about 70% of our budget. Unfortunately, some of the PMG contract that we're collecting payment data on, we weren't able to squeeze it in to bill it into this fiscal year, so it's being billed into the current fiscal year. But otherwise, we're in great shape budget-wise, and be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for the director? Hearing none, we have a motion.
Bowling, move to approve. Paradise, second.
Okay, we have a motion by Bowling, Paradise, the second. Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed or abstentions? Okay, this also passes unanimously. Thank you, Director Baker. Mm-hmm. Item 3B is the technical progress report that will be prepared by Matt Stewart.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be brief today. Just wanted to let everybody know that the CMAQ applications were due on July 28th. Our office received 15. And the total was $57.5 million. So, of course, with this being a statewide funding pot, we don't know exactly how much money we'll get, but our best estimate is somewhere in the neighborhood of $13 million. So if you do the math, despite the fact that there are a lot of worthy applications, it was quite competitive. But our office has started going through those applications. We've met a few times already, and we'll be meeting again next week. Stuff will get submitted down to Columbus. They'll do the remaining parts of the scoring, and then I think the plan is to have all of that finalized by December. So you should have an idea by then if you submitted anything, whether it got approved. The only other thing I wanted to mention, and this is probably something most of you know, but Dave Poulet from our staff retired a couple of weeks ago. So if you didn't already know, Amy Prater has moved into the TIP coordinator position, and she's been working closely with Dave on that for years, so it's been a very smooth transition. So just wanted to let everybody know that Dave is enjoying the slower pace of retirement. That's all I have. Any questions about it? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Matt. Next on our agenda is item 3C, the AMATS Federal Funds Report by Amy Prater.
Thank you. As you can see, it says one project has already sold this fiscal year. Actually, two projects have actually sold since this document has come out. So, STBG funds for 2024 are actually lower because we did get a loan. So part of it is the loan repayment was already taken out from fiscal year 2023. And part of it is that ODOT Finance actually reduced our allocations from 2024 on, basically. They decided that there were adjustments that needed to be made for fiscal constraint on their end. So, also, we are coming up with a new program, coming up with analysis to score our projects for a carbon reduction program. Curtis will discuss that later. And then TASA funding this year is actually showing in the negative, but AMATS expects carryover funding from 2023 to actually negate that negative, so it will be fine. So, as Matt said, CMAQ applications have been accepted, and they are starting to go through the process of scoring them. The TAC TIP has met, and they have approved funding policy guidelines. Those funding policy guidelines will be presented today by Curtis, and then hopefully we can have those approved in the September meeting. I think that's about it. The STB resurfacing TASA and CRP funds. We'll be taking applications soon-ish, probably after the September meeting and the funding policy guidelines are approved. And then those would be due at the end of October for applications. Are there any questions?
Yeah. Thank you, Amy. Do we have anything under old business today?
Today we do not.
Okay, we'll go to item 5, new business. 5A is draft of the 2023 funding policy guidelines.
All right.
Director Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So we presented these, as Amy said. First, we had gone through with our TAC-TIP subcommittee about potential changes to our funding policy guidelines. Our next step is to, we presented them to TAC last week and then policy this week, obviously. And then, as Amy said, we are expecting to approve them in September. But part of this is giving our members a chance to review what is being recommended by the TAC TIP and the staff for potential changes to the funding policy guidelines. So just a real quick explanation here. AMAT's capital funding programs and processes are all described in our policy guidelines. We determine project eligibility and project funding, and then we also provide scoring rubrics for project applications so you can self-score your project, and it's a very transparent process. And we update it every 2 years at the beginning of a round of funding. As I said, on June 20th, the TAC TIP met to discuss, and now we are kind of going through our review with our regular committees. So I'm going to kind of briefly go through. We had some couple of general administrative policy changes, a few recommended STBG resurfacing and TASA changes, and then I'm going to discuss the carbon reduction program, which is the new program. So first of all, just from a pure program administration, most of you are familiar with the idea of fair share, which is a big part of our scoring process. It is updated now to include the 2020 census numbers, so some fair share numbers have changed based on population increases and decreases. From a general eligibility, project eligibility, we wanted to increase the project awards to each project sponsor from 2 per program to 3 per program. We also wanted to include the TASA program in the Project Delivery Incentive Program, so our PDIP program. So currently, our TASA funds did not have the ability to, say, get 10% extra funding for their project through toll revenue credits through the PDIP process. We want to encourage our TASA projects to move a little quicker, so that's why we'd like to apply the PDIP program to it, as well as how it's currently applied. Finally, in general administration type language, there was some confusion about the process of when a project is at its funding award cap, what the process is if there is a request for a project cost increase. So typically, if a project has $500,000 and they ask for a project cost increase, the staff has authority to give a 15% increase. But when the project is at the cap of what's allowable, so like in the case of resurfacing $700,000, when a community asks for a project cost increase, we wanted to clarify that that's considered sort of like an extra ask on top of normal funding language, and that needs to go through our TAC TIP, TAC, and then policy process for that request. So that was how we handled the situation when that request came up, but we thought we needed to codify that. For the STBG, which again is our most broad pot of funding, we want to keep the existing project funding cap at $6 million. We want to incorporate some Safe Streets for All recommendations into that scoring criteria. So here, an example of the change is we used to provide the highest points for being on the AMATS, being in the top 50% of the traffic crash report for AMATS. We're changing that now to it being a project that's located on the Safe Streets for All plan high injury network. So, and then you can still get points of 15 for being on the AMATS crash list, but we wanted to emphasize fatal crashes, serious injuries, that element in keeping with what this board approved with our Safe Streets for All plan.
Is that highlighted supposed to say traffic crash reports or Safe Streets for All?
The highlighted part's the old one. Yeah, that's the original. The new one's underneath it where it says project location identified on AMAT Safe Streets for All. So that's the... and I should mention, too, that all you all have with your mail out a redlined version of the funding policy guidelines, so where every change has been either highlighted or located in red, so you can see the change. Also, so then moving on to the resurfacing program, we didn't change any of the funding criteria, but we did increase, we're recommending increasing the cap from 700 to 800,000. This is just kind of in keeping with what I was discussing before. I think everybody knows about some of the inflationary pressures that have been kind of foisted upon projects over the last couple years, and our tech tip felt that it was the appropriate time to increase that. From a TASA perspective, our bike and pedestrian funding, we want to increase the project funding cap from 700,000 to 1 million. The 700,000 has been in place since I started at AMETS 17, 18 years ago, so it's really been pretty static. We know these projects are getting a lot more expensive, so we felt that increasing it to 1 million would make sense. We also want to create a reservoir project type possibility with creating a supplemental funding program for projects that are currently have other AMATS funding in them. So what we would like to do is we're going to have, as part of our application cycle, the ability for communities with projects that are already in our pipeline, already funded with STBG, CMAC, or any other federal funds, could apply to be part of our supplemental TASA program. And the purpose of that would be if, for example, maybe an Arlington Road project in Green has sidewalks in it, AMATS might have a balance of 500,000 in TASA because all of our bike trail projects, let's say they slipped into the next year. So we've got this short-term 500,000 that we don't want to be in danger of giving back to the state. We want to create a reservoir list of projects so that if we have projects in the pipeline that could use the sidewalk funding, we would give them an additional up to $500,000 for that fiscal year, in that fiscal year. The key there is that if you're a 2025 project and you apply for supplemental funding and 2025 comes and goes and AMAT spent all of its TASA, you might have been the number one project on the list, but you're not going to receive any additional funding. It would only be if we had leftover funding, we would be able to take advantage of these reservoir projects. And really, this is for staff because I think there have been times when we've wanted to do this, but we've always said, but we can't just pick which project to give if we've got, you know, in the current year, we've got $250,000 balance. AMAT staff doesn't want to pick which project, but if we score it and rank it, and the community said, yeah, we'd be interested in this, it makes it one of those, it gives us another tool to make sure we spend our funding in the appropriate fiscal year. This is by far the most complicated new thing we're adding, so yeah, I'd encourage if you have questions, even in the next month or so, please let me know. And we're trying to work through this as a way to make sure that we are spending our money as quickly as possible. From a scoring perspective, we're raising points from 15 to 20 for sidewalk replacement, and also for bike and pedestrian safety infrastructure projects. We also are going to award additional 5 points for projects that contain proven safety countermeasures that were highlighted in the Safe Streets for All program. And then as part of our Safe Streets for All program, it recommended increasing the amount of points we could give to projects that are generated from Safe Routes to Schools program. So that recommended increase from 5 to 10. So it's sort of ironic. I mean, this is by far the smallest pot of money we have, and we've got the most changes in it. But we do think this money is also sometimes the most challenging to spend in the year that we say, because not to anyone's fault, but, you know, all of a sudden you're building a trail and you get in a disagreement with the railroad, and 2 years later, you know, it's still not resolved. And so we want to make sure we can still say, hey, we've got you covered for that project, but in the short term, we can fill the gaps if we need to. And I'm sure no one's ever had an issue with the railroad before. So, this is another one I would draw your attention to. This is the CRP program, Carbon Reduction Program. This one was created as part of the bipartisan infrastructure law, a completely new program. AMATS is getting money. The pot's kind of been getting a little larger. And really what we're doing is we created a scoring criteria that prioritizes projects that reduce carbon emissions. It's also, we incorporated for this program, because it's been an emphasis of the BIL, an equity component to it based on the Equitable Transportation Community Explorer, adding 5 points for projects that would land within that area. But this program, essentially, the most points go to projects that move traffic through an area as quickly as possible and help reduce idling and reduce emissions. So we're excited to get that project, or get that program moving. I think ODOT would like to see us apply funds from that program. This, I know you guys can't read it, but again, referencing the document, like, this is what that new scoring criteria looks like. You know, there's a project type element, project delivery, a safety component, an equity component, an impact on emissions, and then our fair share table is part of that carbon reduction scoring. This thing is really fighting with me now. There we go. Funding estimates available. We're estimating right now we're going to have about $15 million in STVG, $15 million for resurfacing, $8 million for the carbon reduction program, and $1.2 million for our TASA program. I think we're excited. I mean, we're talking about almost $40 million of, you know, funding that we're going to be able to give out in this round. So we really want to make sure all of our members are aware of it, understand the changes to the funding programs, and are ready to apply to us so that we can score these projects and really get to work. So again, as Amy sort of discussed, you know, we'll bring this back as a final for approval in September. Then we will open up applications immediately after approval, and then we would be having our applications due on Halloween, on October 31st. To give everyone, and I think, as most of you know, our applications are purposely not meant to be complicated or too cumbersome. So we're gonna, you know, in keeping with that, hopefully it won't be a very heavy lift for everyone. So with that, you know, discussion only at this point, I'd be happy to answer any questions, or, you know, provide, take, feel free to look at it and come back with questions in, you know, via email or phone calls or whatever. But I'll stop there.
Director Baker, under TASA, you said you were looking for some projects maybe that you could use the money for. Would you, if the highest ranked project could use all of the funds, would you limit the amount under that priority list? Let's say you ended up with $500,000. Would you allocate some to the first project and some to the second, or would it be first in line gets all?
The way it's written right now would be first in line. If they requested the 500, they would get the 500. If there was 700, they'd get the 500, and the next community would get the 200. You know, that was sort of the approach. I'm open to changing it if we think it should be less. But I think, you know, but if we think it should be less, another option would be just lowering that overall cap. You know, saying maximum 250,000 or something like that. Yeah. So.
Any other questions?
Will the fair share table be available soon?
Yes, and anyone that wants it, Amy, I believe it's been updated, correct? So, you know, we can send it out. I mean, we'll for sure probably send it out as part of like the funding packet. But if you're looking to kind of get ahead of the game, we can make sure to email it to you. So if anyone requests it or would like to see it, it's definitely not meant to be a secret document. We'll happily provide it to anyone. So, and I don't want to overstate the changes to the. It wasn't, you know, there weren't huge changes in the population and how those scores are, but they're, you know, they're different numbers, so it makes it a little bit different.
Any other questions under item 5? Okay, hearing none, we'll move to item 6. 6A, this is resolution 2020-309-R. This is approving amendment number 1 to the fiscal year 2024 through 2027 transportation improvement program to remove one existing project, revise the schedule for one project, and revise the funding source and schedule for one project. Amy Prater will be presenting.
Thank you. So first off, if you printed your packet originally, it has changed slightly, very slightly. And I'll get to that revision in a moment. The first project, we're removing Valley View and Old 8. We're removing it from this TIP because we were actually able to sell it in 2023. We were actually able to get it in under the deadline, so it doesn't need to be in this TIP because the funding has already been spent. The next project is Old Forge resurfacing. At the project review meetings, after some discussion, this project was actually chip and sealed, and the PCI went from, I forget, 50-something, I think, to 99. So after some discussion with Portage County, they volunteered, because they have not had any complaints since they've chip and sealed, they volunteered to actually push the project to 2027 and give someone else that may need the money in 2024. So currently we don't have extra money in 2024. Them moving helped us. So, and then the third project is the Kent project. So we talked about the carbon reduction program. We started getting that money in 2022. We got more money in 2023. We've been given another pot in 2024, and those funds just keep rolling over in the years. ODOT's not been real happy. We haven't spent this yet. So after talking to Kent, they volunteered to give up their $3.6 million in STBG funding and spend the 2022, 2023, and 2024, a portion of the 2024 funds of the carbon reduction program instead. So we will be able to spend down that program and free up some STBG money. Also, they got a $5.2 million raise grant, and the total project cost is now up to $28.3 million. The revision is that I forgot to put a line in here, as it said, the construction funding for this project has moved from fiscal year 26, which it had been moved out to fiscal year 26 for fiscal constraint. We moved it back into fiscal year 2025 for all funding sources. So, any questions?
Okay, hearing none, we have a motion.
Motion. So moved. Jenkins, Portage County.
Thank you.
Second.
Bill Judge, Barber. Motion and second on the floor. Any discussion before we take a vote? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, it passes unanimously. Under item 7, other business, we do have one report we'd like to hear from the nominating committee. Two members are present, Jim Bowling and Bill Judge. We've asked Jim Bowling to update the committee on nominating.
We would like to nominate Larry Jenkins for the Vice Chair of the Commission for the rest of the term.
Okay, there it is. So we have a nomination for Larry Jenkins. We will do a voice vote of the entire committee. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? All right. Congratulations, Larry. Welcome to the team. All right. And moving on, we just need a motion for adjournment. Before we do, our next regular meeting is Thursday, September 21st, here in the same refrigerator room at the Hilton Garden. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
So moved. Thank you, Joe Paradise.